Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This past Tuesday evening, I attended a meeting hosted by the Vigo County School Corporation and its new superintendent of schools, Mr. Hayworth, Dr. Hayworth. All local clergy and leaders of faith-based organizations were invited to participate in a roundtable discussion of issues that we see facing the children and young people of our city, and it was a very welcome time. At my table were two Baptist ministers of very small local congregations, and a youth minister of one of those congregations, and a layman who runs an outreach to help homeless veterans, and the priest from St. George's Orthodox Church. Quite a table. One of the young Baptist ministers asked me what text I was preaching on this coming Sunday. And I told him, Luke 21, Jesus is coming again on the clouds with power and glory to judge the world. There will be signs to let us know that he's coming. The Baptist minister was surprised. With a hint of sarcasm, he said, "Sounds like a happy Christmas message to me." He quickly changed the subject and other activities took over. Well, in most other traditions, it's time for Christmas, and there's not much thought given to Advent season, to preparing for our Lord's coming, or to using the idea of using a lectionary. But he was accidentally onto something about the sermon theme. Not too many Christians these days want to look past today and tomorrow and barely want to think about what's in the past, much less contemplate Christ coming again in judgment in the future. That's not the friendly, adorable, sweet baby Jesus that gives us all warm and fuzzy feelings. Today's gospel is not the humble and lovely story of Luke 2, with the babe lying in the manger, no crib for a bed, no room in the inn. This is Luke 21, Jesus, Holy Week, within the shadow of his cross, about to carry his cross, and Jesus warns his disciples and you about the end of time. Jesus said, "And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Now, when these things take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. In Advent, the church draws together the humble coming of Jesus as the babe of Bethlehem to be the Savior of the nations, with the final coming of Jesus and all his power and glory that lurks out there in the future when God ends this time. And in the fullness of time, Christ came to this world. What had taken place before in history pointed forward to that coming, and what has happened since, as Jesus warns us in the gospel today, reminds us that whether people believe it or not, we are moving forward to that great day when we shall meet the Lord, when we will see the Son of Man in the clouds with power and great glory. As the hymn today says, "There shall we see in glory our dear Redeemer's face." Now, for some, to see the dear Redeemer's face may not be such a welcome reality. if one desires to remain in one's sin, if one rejects the Lord Jesus as their dear Redeemer from sin, then indeed Jesus comes at the last in great judgment with the full force of the law and its stern condemnation. Since the fall into sin in the garden by our first parents, we could not see the face of God and live. Our lack of holiness cannot coexist with God's holiness. God hid Moses and would only show Moses his backside up on Mount Sinai. God passed by Elijah with the prophet hidden in the cleft of the rock. Daniel, upon seeing the vision of the Ancient of Days and the Son of Man, fell down on his face in fear. Isaiah sees the Lord on the throne of heaven and trembles in fear and says, "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Upon seeing Jesus in his full divine glory on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah, the three disciples fall down on their face in fear and trembling as if they were dead. Yet the Christian, knowing and believing his redemption in Jesus Christ, sees the signs of the end of this world and can say with boldness, "Come, Lord Jesus, and come quickly." Christians ought to be the people who look straight through that Christmas manger to Good Friday cross and beyond the end of time with joy and with eager hearts. Christians should be people who, through the encouragement of the Scriptures and with endurance, abound in hope. We should be people who are eager for the Son of Righteousness to arise with healing in his wings. Martin Luther, in his 1522 sermon on today's gospel, spent no little bit of time in the pulpit gauging the times that he lived in. I found it a little humorous. He was convinced 500 years ago, surely, he says, with all the innovations in technology then at hand, the printing press, everything that's going on, changes in culture, he defied anyone to deny that the last day is surely at hand, any moment. Luther said, "Who has ever heard of such commerce as now encircles the world and swallows the world? There arise and have arisen all kinds of art, painting, embroidery, and engraving, which has not been equaled since Christ's birth. In addition, there are such keenly intelligent people who let nothing be hidden, so that now a boy of 20 knows more than 20 doctors." When you read this sermon, one wonders how Luther would feel today about the progress society has made, the wealth of knowledge simply at one's fingertips. It would blow his mind. He was not correct that his era was the end of time. He's at least 500 years off. Luther and all of us, though, still await the last day. But he was not wrong to wish to see the Redeemer's face. He is right to follow and believe the words of the Lord. There will be signs. He is right to take the Lord's word seriously, that there is a definite meaning to all of world history. History really is moving to that great day, to that final crossroads. The sheep of Jesus, the baptized lambs like little Simeon Benjamin, who received the saving gift of water and the Spirit today, and all of you who with him hear and believe and follow the voice of your shepherd, all will be welcomed into eternal life. The Lord will cause his face to shine upon them, upon you. Meanwhile, all those who are so out of their minds, that they do not repent of sin, who do not even believe they are sinning, who just continue on in foolishness as if tomorrow will always dawn, as if there is no judgment coming. They'll be sent to that place reserved for the devil and all his angels, his evil angels. And the Lord will not countenance their presence. Therefore, baptized Christians, disciples of Jesus, members of his body, do not be out of your minds. You should know the truth about this old world. Jesus has given you the signs. The powers of the heavens will shake, and they will be shaken. Life will not be easy. Evil and wickedness for now have their day, and in this world have ascendancy even over the baptized in Christ's body. Therefore, we are to read the signs and be awake and persevering, dear Christians. Pray for strength from on high to endure all these things, and receive that strength through the gift of word and sacrament at all times, both in the calm and in the storms of life. Even if the worst of catastrophes happen, and they do, and oh, do they, in ways which affect us so dearly and can hurt so deeply, nevertheless, believe and trust God's good plans for you are in motion. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus says, but not his word. They are truth, his words. They are truth and they are life. He will never leave you, never forsake you. He promises to come to you in his church here and now, albeit humbly and unseen to your eyes. And he promises to return in power and great glory, and then the long-awaited story of heavenly joy will take place. We will see our Redeemer, and every believing heart will have their day to see what is longed for with resurrected eyes. And that day will be comforting and sweet. Better and more holy a day and more memorable and happy than 1,000 or even 10,000 times 10,000 Christmas celebrations. That day will be the highest joy and safety to the believer, to stand before the Redeemer's face in holiness. That Redeemer who was born your flesh and blood brother in Bethlehem, and who died to this old world and to its sin and shame on Calvary's cross, who defeated the power of the devil and the grave itself for your sake. That Redeemer who even now in this day and time makes his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, and who lifts up his countenance upon you and gives you everlasting peace. That Redeemer is coming again in glory and great power, and he is going to bring you, his children, into the home he has prepared for you, where he will do away at last all tears, all the pining sadness of this old world. It will all go away. The summer of his eternal kingdom is approaching. May it dawn and bloom into fruition soon. Come, Lord Jesus, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord.